welcome to the Raging Bull Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Sturgill. Join me as I interview people from all walks of life who've built successful lives, self-made millionaires, entrepreneurs, traders, authors, and experts in their chosen fields. Discover the mindset and motivation to make successful people tick and learn new ways to apply these ideas, lessons, and successes to help you build your own success and live a better life.
Today, I'll be interviewing Ben Sturgill. Again, we're not going to get him to interview himself. So, Ben, welcome. Welcome to your own show.
Glad to be back, David. Always love speaking with you. Thanks so much.
Pleasure. So, you know, you have been trading the SPY, the S&P 500 index, in the last month. And no one could have failed to notice what's been happening with the S&P or the SPY. And in the last 23 trades that you've put out in your Daily Profit Machine service, you've scored a win on 21 of them. Is that correct?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Now, that's around about a 91% success rate, and that's pretty high. And the average profit, remind me again, about 25?
Yeah, about 25-30%.
Okay. So that's amazing. And, you know, I think a lot of people are wanting to know, well, what is this and how it works? And one of the things I've always been fascinated in life is breaking something down. Now, there are writers, authors like Tim Ferriss, for example, who gets very good at breaking down a system of stuff to see how it works and therefore the fundamental components of it that make it work. And then he breaks it down in a way that says, okay, if you're going to learn that, whether it's a language or traditional Japanese archery or whatever it is, how would you then reconstruct it so that someone else could learn to do the same thing? And I remember years ago when I started doing karate when I was a teenager, the teacher said to me at the time, he said, everything you'll ever need to know is in the white belt stuff I'll teach you. And it didn't really hit me. But, you know, it's like that concept of the whole tree is contained in the seed. Everything is there in the fundamentals. So what I'd like to do today is to dive into the system behind Daily Profit Machine and how it is that you are able to predict with such a high degree of accuracy where the market's headed on any particular day. And secondly, how you're able to say, oh, I think that we should trade it this way over this time frame. So break it down for me. Help me understand a little bit about the mechanics of your Daily Profit Machine system, if you would, please.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, I think it came out of really to solve two problems, right? The first and foremost is you got to know what you're trading. And so when you're trading an individual stock, you know, that stock can be moved and manipulated in a pretty easy way by any particular market maker that comes in and does that. Market maker is someone who's actually creating or making the market itself, right? And someone with big pockets, big resources could come in and move it, and you would just kind of be, you know, at their whim of what they want to do. And so you got to break it down by understanding what it is I'm actually trading. And so what that is the S&P or the S&P 500, 500 of the most important companies in the largest economy in the world, that being the U.S. market. And this ETF or electronically, you know, traded fund is the most liquid or most traded ticker symbol out there, right? And so that gives us a couple distinct advantages. One, it allows us to get in and out of the trade pretty quickly because there's so many people buying and selling it. Two, it allows it to be pretty difficult to manipulate per se because of the large spread over the 500 companies and because so many people are getting in and out of it and there's so much volume and so much money. And thirdly, it's really going to be a ticker that is not susceptible to one piece of information, right? Let's say some news headline comes out where, you know, let's say you're looking at a stock chart and it's looking great. And then some piece of news came out that, you know, someone did something, you know, some barista did something racist, or I just think about recent news headlines that just can kind of crush a stock out of nowhere. And it's incredibly frustrating when you're trying to trade something and then just something that seemingly doesn't matter at all. Not to say a racist comment doesn't matter, but what it matters for the overall business itself will just, you know, plunge that stock. And so I say this as kind of a background to say, this is why I trade the SPY, the S&P 500, because it has all of those valuable components to when I get into this next part of the process, you'll understand why I'm not worried about getting, you know, one headline kind of taking out the process. I'm not worried about one person coming in and just kind of undercutting or moving the price and manipulation. And because it also gives me this diversification and with the liquidity it offers, a nimbleness to get in and to get out when I see, you know, the time is right. And that's one of the big reasons why I think I've been able to have the success that I've had is because of those advantages to start off with. So, before I go on, does that make sense? I don't want to just keep going before, you know, I kind of build that baseline. You know, as you use that karate analogy, we are throwing punches and we are kicking, and this is karate. It's not judo. It's not wrestling. It's karate.
It's karate. It's not crazy.
That's right.
So what I hear you saying here is that it's the it's like Jupiter or Saturn. It's not a small planet. You're trading something here that's got an enormous mass to it and that is not thrown by small perturbations within the market or the news. You've got a more solid body of a trade to go at to start with. And I guess that plays into the fluctuations and the volatility in it so that you're starting from a more stable basis in your trades is what I'm picking up.
That's right. Yeah, it does offer particular advantages to that degree because, you know, if not, it's very easy to be the small fish in the large pond of the stock market, right? Where you're trading against algorithms and you're trading against hedge funds and you're trading against people with billion-dollar portfolios that can really move it as they wish. This is one that has particular advantages. Now, don't get me wrong, it doesn't always play fair. That's the market. But there is more fairness in this than there would be in just trading a typical stock.
Got it. Good. Right. You may continue kicking and punching. Please continue.
So with us trading the S&P, it is an equities market, right? Stocks are equities. When you buy a stock, you own an equity of the company. And this is the stock market or the equity market. And there are other markets in the world, right? Believe it or not, the stock market is not the largest market in the world. There's the bond market, and a bond is basically a short-term loan that a business will get out, will request, and you will give them that loan at a particular percentage rate back. There's also the currency market, which is an enormous market, and most people don't understand the currency market itself. But when you understand the connection between the currency market and the bond market and the equities market, what you come to realize, and this is the first of the kind of concentric circles, right? As my idea flows from the outside of the cone, if you will, down to the more narrow pieces until at the very bottom, it spits out the trade. This is where I'm starting at the top, and I'm saying, people are always, investors, large investors, are always moving their money based on risk and reward. And so what you'll oftentimes find is this correlation between these markets, where when the bond market is doing quite well, right, when prices are rising because people are buying, that tells you that money is moving most likely out of the equity markets into the bond market for safety. And when that happens, there's a high probability that the equity market or the S&P 500 is not going to do well that day. Same is true for the currencies, right? When the yen, which is the Japanese yen, oftentimes a safe haven for people to put their money into, investors to put their money into, when you see the yen is relatively strong on a one-day, you know, relative performance, it shows you, wow, money is moving into that currency, which is a safe haven, which means it's going to be moving out of the equity markets. And so in a sense, you know, when you see those two things, you know, when you see the bonds that are really strong, like US, you know, 30-year treasury bonds, and when you see the yen particularly strong on a one-day relative, you know, performance basis, then that is a solid indication that it's not going to be a great day for the S&P 500. And so that's the first step, is understanding that correlation of how money moves. We're not talking about small money. We're talking about billions, trillions of dollars, how that moves and what it can tell you about what possibly and most likely lay ahead that day for the market itself.
Would you say it's fair to state that the movement of an individual company can be influenced by many things, good news, bad news? Do the futures look good for that company? Where's it headed, et cetera? Would you say it's fair to say that the three markets you've mentioned there, the bond, the currency, and the SPY, probably the NASDAQ as well, these major markets and indices, that their movement is almost nothing to do with the companies that represent them. So the S&P 500 is the 500 largest market cap companies that are traded, but I'm picking up that there's much more than the sentiment of those companies that go into how the SPY is actually traded. Is that?
Well, I would say that is generally correct. The harder part, is that these ETFs they all are made up of different weighting averages, right? So for example, when you look at the SPY itself, different companies, it's not just those 500 companies are equally weighted within that. Some have greater weighting. So for example, with the S&P 500, its greatest weighting is to one of its holdings, Berkshire Hathaway B, right, stock. It's 1.6% of the assets in there. And so if Berkshire has a bad day, it's going to impact the SPY, right? Number two is Procter & Gamble, right? But again, when I say that, you know, while it does impact it, it's not the kiss of death, if you will, right? If Procter & JP Morgan, for example, they reported yesterday their earnings, and it wasn't great, and not a great outcast, not a great forecast. They're 1.27% of the SPY, right? And so they could have a bad day, but that doesn't mean that everything is lost, because again, they're only one. They're less than 98.5% of the entire SPY. So it's not equally weighted. It is it's overly weighted to certain companies versus others, and so it's going to have some impact, but it won't be the kiss of death like a bad earnings could be for just one stock like JP Morgan.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. The SPY is relevant to the 500 large cap companies traded on the stock market. Are there similar indices for the currency and the bond markets that could be, I'm going to use this term in inverted commas, the quote marks, predictably traded in the same way that you're doing in the daily profit machine with the SPY?
I'm so glad you asked. Absolutely. I'll give you an example. You mentioned the bond market. When you look at the bond market, the TLT is the bond market right now. And actually, I'm holding because I think that the bonds, ultimately, I think that the SPY is going to turn and go back down, right? We're looking at a retracement level right now from our recent lows that I just don't think we're going to keep going up. All the bad news, especially as earnings, come and settle. I think we're going to head down and probably test lows over the next couple of months. And I myself am holding a long-term call in TLT, which is the ETF for bonds, right? It's a June 19th call at 164. I got in at about $5.50 because, again, as I believe the market will roll back over and head lower, bonds will work inverse to that and they will head back higher. And so I'm sitting in this one believing that by June, bonds are going to be worth a lot more. They're going to head back up, which working inverse to the markets, to the S&P 500. And therefore, that's why I went with calls, because I think it's going to head higher.
So buying into a call in bonds, is that a similar kind of hedge as buying into puts in the stock market?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's just a different way to play it, right? Playing it for bonds rather than playing it for, and also because as you look at some of those, don't get me wrong, I also also have puts in the IWM, which is another ETF. But it's just different ways to play it. It's to spread it over those different options. So I have, calls in TLT, and I have puts in IWM, believing that IWM is going to go down with the market and bonds are going to go up as the market comes down.
So you've made your prediction and you've hit around about 90% success. which is very good. You get an A minus and you're like, well, why didn't you get an A plus? So, you know, it's like with science, you do the experiment, you get a result. Sometimes it's the one you predicted, sometimes it's not. Do you hedge against yourself when you're trading? So if you think that the SPY was going to go up today, do you ever take out an alternative trade in case you're wrong as a sort of insurance policy?
I don't do that in my day trading. I do that in my general account because, you know, here's why. You know, David, I know, for example, you and I are friends. You got a new car recently, right? A beautiful Jeep. And when you got that Jeep, did you just drive it off the lot and never call an insurance agent?
I called the insurance agent before I even test drove it. And I said, I'm thinking of test driving this. Make sure I'm sorted. So
I say that because, you know, I have everything that is valuable to me, I insure. I insure my car, I insure my house, I insure my life, right? I mean, David, if I go missing, you need to ask my wife what's up because she's going to get a lot of money. And, you know, the same is true for my general, you know, account, right? I got a lot of money in that account. And so I always pull, you know, I always essentially buy insurance by taking out hedges, puts, you know, long dated ranged puts, because of the high value of the general account. However, in my day trading account, I don't, what you would be referring to is actually probably doing something like a put debit spread or a credit spread where you buy a call or sell a put or buy a put and sell a call to kind of hedge your risk there. I don't do that in my day trading because I accept the risk essentially. My position is never more than, you know, 5 to 10% of my account. And if I lose it, then that's a real bummer. But it's not so large that I have to insure it like I don't insure my, you know, my Cannondale, you know, road bicycle. I love the thing. It's great. It's worth about $1,000, but I'm not going to pay insurance on it because, you know, I've ridden it long enough to where I feel like I generally know what I'm doing. And if it gets dinged up or scuffed up for a reason I don't understand or didn't foresee, I'll just pay for it and get it fixed. It won't be that much. Kind of the same way with my day trading. You know, I accept the risk. If I lose the 5 or 10%, okay, but I generally don't hold it long enough to you know, risk, you know, ruin losing it all.
Mm. And you have, you know, you have a risk management strategy. You adhere to your stops. You don't let your emotions get involved. I know you've spoken to this. Jason Bond recently spoke to this in the podcast we did with him a few weeks back there. So you mitigate the risk, not by having an insurance coverage, but by just managing the trades and making sure that you're not, you know, investing the whole family fortune in one trade. Got it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, David, that's how I generally see what I believe is a direction. Like, do I have a bias toward a direction that the market is going to go, right? And my look and view of bonds and currencies versus equities gives me that bias. Okay, I generally think it's going to go this way. And then I narrow that down to the next circle. And I say, okay, what is happening in the world? What is the sentiment right now in the markets themselves? What's happening in the futures market, right? Do futures traders believe that we're going higher? Are futures green? Are they red? Are they only slightly so? Are they largely so? So that's another way. Additionally, I look at other world markets. Again, if the, you know, we're an interconnected global economy here. And if the world, other markets, you know, the DAX, the Euro, the Nikkei, I mean, China, if they're down 5%, what reason would I have to believe that we aren't going to be brought down with them because we're so interconnected? So again, that doesn't mean it will always happen that way, but that does kind of confirm or, you know, fight against the bias I have. And so then I bring that bias from those fundamentals to the technicals, right? I look at the technical chart. This is the third step in that process. And when you can look at a chart technically and see where price has stopped and where it has bounced off of, and you can find kind of your support and resistance lines. And then oftentimes a chart, based on its movement and its volume, will give you a solid sense of the direction that it's bringing into the open. And so if the chart is moving up strongly with volume into the open, that's a pretty good indication momentum is going to keep going higher. That's what happened just a couple of days ago when I made a trade 3 minutes after the market opened. You know, other times when you see it headed down and there's not a whole lot of volume with that, right, then there's a chance that there's just not a lot of people that are that interested in this market. And if my both fundamentals from the bonds and the currencies, as well as the futures and the overseas market kind of line up with what I'm seeing, then man, it gives me a lot of confidence in that trade. Now, that doesn't always line up that way. But again, these are three of the components I use to really give myself a good sense, to have an advantage, if you will, in what direction to trade. Then after that, it's just a matter of timing that trade.
Mm. There's the old saying that the difference between salad and garbage is timing.
I love it.
Yeah. So, you know, my own passion is cooking, right? And I love to create many different kinds of dishes and baking, you name it. And the one thing about great food is people often say, this is a great meal, or this cake is delicious, right? It's the end result that most people want. And for anyone that's interested in the technical side of trading, I found your interview here, our discussion, fascinating. But most people don't want to have to go to the whole rigmarole of, you know, spending 3 days to make a perfect croissant. They just want to go to the store and buy a croissant. So for for anyone that doesn't want the entire recipe, they just want to say, okay, let's get started. Let's taste the cake. How can they find out more about you and your service and what you're doing here on a daily basis?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, they can go to dailyprofitmachine.com and check out articles I put out there. You know, from time to time, I like to put out articles just to educate and help people. But also there, they can sign up for my emails. They can sign up for different trainings that I've put on, just to kind of be able to explain this better. And then for those that, you know, just want the croissant, as you say, you know, they can sign up for the service. I mean, right now there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. So, you know, basically you get to taste the croissant. And if you didn't like it, you can say, no thanks. It was too flaky for me. But yeah, again, or you can check us out on Twitter at Make Daily Profit. At Make Daily Profit. So yeah, we're on there. We got members on there kind of tweeting out encouragements to each other. Those who have done well, asking me questions, I respond. And I love that interaction with the team we've built, over 6,000 people, you know, doing it together.
Amazing. I've seen some of the testimonials and they are very compelling. And certainly the trades you've put on recently have been really impressive to witness. So good. Thank you so much for going so deeply into the process here and breaking it down. And I really appreciate your time today, Ben. Thanks very much.
It has been my pleasure as always, David. Thank you. Well, that's a wrap for this episode. Thanks for listening. I invite you to visit RagingBull.com/podcast. That's RagingBull.com/podcast to discover more episodes, to learn more about people who have created, built, and lived successful lives. Also, remember to subscribe to one of Raging Bull's newsletters. Join me on the next episode as we share more stories from our guests on the wisdom behind wealth and how they built their own success. Raging Bull Podcast is brought to you by RagingBull.com, helping traders succeed through education, resources, and where you can watch real traders make trades. Raging Bull, learn to trade. We'll show you how.